Welcome to Healthcare Aptitude, where healthcare's thought leaders will examine ways to address the rising costs of care in America. We'll also examine how the latest advances in mobile apps are helping hospitals and health systems bend the cost curve and improve patient engagement.
Hi, and welcome to Healthcare Aptitude. I'm Tom Testa. In our last episode, we had a great panel discussion on COVID-19 with three experts from Mobile Smith Health. Joining us were Jerry Lepore, CEO, Greg Jones, CTO, and Bruce Kennedy, VP of Provider Development. In today's episode, we'll continue that discussion with Bill Donnelly of Deaconess Health System. Bill's going to join us to talk about how his organization turned to mobile apps to provide a secure mobile environment that allows leadership and clinicians to communicate with their staff. Before we talk to Bill and investigate apps in action and hear some best practices for app usage from within the Indiana-based health system, let's dive back into our conversation with the panel. As a reminder, this conversation was recorded in early April, but the panel kept their focus on future-looking aspects of the COVID-19 pandemic, so this content is certainly still valid today. Talk to us a little bit more about how you're looking even beyond the pandemic, right? This is why you guys are poised to help change the way information is delivered to these institutions even beyond the pandemic.
Tom, first of all, we believe that the change in healthcare due to this specific pandemic situation is going to be fairly dramatic. Mm-hmm. And it's going to require different policies and procedures in place. And that gets a little bit to what Bruce was talking about with respect to our attestation app. And we, you know, I believe that that app not only will serve well for hospitals and their staff, but it will serve well ultimately for attending large major events, potentially, to make sure that folks are protected as they come in. So I think there's a number of usages for that application. But in general, here's what we believe. We believe that individuals are going to become and will have to become more engaged and more aware of their health and what they can do to impact individually and on a greater scale. And the way to do that is by giving them the right tools and the right access. And the access, we believe, is mobile technology. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, is supported by the fact that, you know, folks use their phone an average 4 to 5 hours a day, and they have it on their person 98% of the time when they're not sleeping. So it is the primary vehicle to communicate with folks today and in the future. Mm-hmm. And the right apps is a lot of what Mobile Smith is trying to address with respect to healthcare, prevention, awareness, education, engagement, communication, and so on. So we believe that the future is going to be in mobile applications delivered to individuals to support their own good health on an ongoing basis.
No, that's great. And Jerry, just talking about the future, if you can, what's next? What's in store in terms of a look at potential partnerships, you know, even different versions of the app in terms of languages and stuff like that? Anything in the works there?
Well, I'll start with what I think is amazing, and it's our ability in a time where we're now working remote and we have stay-at-home mandates and we're mm-hmm. quarantining, that Mobile Smith has been able to engage a number of different groups and segments of our population to work together. And Bruce mentioned this a little bit. We've talked to over 20 state legislative associations in this time period. Hard to get to because they're concerned with public safety and first responders and how to deal with this on a community and state basis.
Absolutely.
Talked to over 20 state hospital associations on how to figure out how to help their hospital members that are in their groups. We've talked to a number of different hospitals and other software providers. So I think the key thing is the community, our legislators, our software partners, and mm-hmm. others will begin to more globally look at how we're going to deliver the tools that we need to go out into the industry on an ongoing basis. So to quickly get to the point where I think it's going, I think we're finally going to put consumer into what we've talked about for a long time, which right. is consumer-directed healthcare. Right. And we've not been able to do that successfully as much as we've talked about it, because we've done a lot of things around the consumer, but not with the consumer being the patient or the member in a health plan. And I think by providing access and by providing applications to them, we'll be able to solve that problem. So we're on the forefront of consumer-directed healthcare through the use of mobile technologies and applications that will actually support everything from benefits to care and treatment.
That's great. Gentlemen, let's talk a bit about the big picture of the use of mobile apps. We've touched upon a little bit in the first segment, but let's go a little deeper here. So not just for global pandemics, right, but overall healthcare operations moving forward. I think, Jerry, you'd mentioned that just a bit ago. How has the focus on remote patient engagement changed forever? Bruce, you want to start off?
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Well, I think there's nothing as prescient as the most recent news that has come out regarding the number of deaths, the death rate of African Americans who are infected with COVID. In some cases, are just galling when you think about the discrepancies. And, you know, when you begin to unpack some of that data, you find that, well, it's based upon ongoing health issues. It's based upon comorbidities, as Greg had talked about earlier. It's based upon the number of African Americans in our community that our communities that are dealing with hypertension, obesity, asthma, airway issues, cardiovascular issues, and diabetes. And so the COVID pandemic, at least in the U.S., is helping to, I think, amplify yet again some of the disparities in America when it comes to access to healthcare, healthcare literacy, and I think a history of healthcare challenges working within African American communities in the U.S. So you ask, well, how does COVID impact how we move forward? Well, amplify certain things I think we've already known, and I think it allows for the application of new technologies to help deal with some of those disparities. I mean, we've touched on it already, this idea of injecting the consumer back into healthcare decisions. You know, that really translates to injecting an increasing level of self-reliance into healthcare, your healthcare planning, and talks to expanding healthcare access and improving healthcare literacy. Mm-hmm. And I think all of those things are amplified by the mobile device. I would dare say that African Americans, while they represent an increased number of mortality for the COVID infection or for the coronavirus, they also represent a good portion of mobile care users or mobile users across the country. It's very difficult to find pretty much anybody nowadays, no matter what socioeconomic background they come from, that does not have access to a mobile device. And so as we look forward, the application of health delivery and of healthcare delivery across a mobile platform is going to be increasingly needed to deal with and address these ongoing healthcare disparities. And mobile is a vehicle that can do it better than any other vehicle that is currently available.
Jerry, anything to add?
Yeah, just simply, I think to take Bruce's point on reaching out to folks and getting individuals involved, the use of mobile technology extends itself across every ethnic group and in every age demographic. The fact is we're quarantined, but I'm FaceTiming with my mom, who happens to be in assisted care, and she's at 93, 94 years old right now. Mm-hmm. So the reality is the vehicle for us being able to get individuals involved and through education, through two-way communication, is mobile technology. And that's prevalent and is going to become more prevalent as time goes on.
Absolutely. Greg, I want to get back to you for a second here. I want to talk about how do health IT advances like mobile applications affect the future of patient care? You touched upon it a little bit earlier, but wanted to see if you could expand on that.
Yeah, it's a little frustrating to see small countries who have, just for looking at COVID-19, mm-hmm. It's frustrating to see these countries that I know have more focus as a centralized healthcare across the entire country and be able to monitor and respond to health data rapidly. Good for them. Those people right now are in an appropriate environment to be taken care of. We live in a freer land that really forces a lot of our leadership to have to work together between states and federal governments. And the data that's available versus the data that could be available, mm-hmm. if their relationships were better aligned. And I know that CMS is doing their part as much as possible to try to get as much data as possible from the various states and the various private hospitals. But it's the struggles that I have, the frustrations I have with technology in healthcare is the same ones I had a year ago and 2 years ago, et cetera, is how much is data really needing to stay inside of a hospital, inside of a state, where having that data even anonymized so that it could be used for population health purposes. It could be used, like right now, if we had those environments set up correctly, we should be able to have very rapid data analytics on health for entire environments, cities, even zip codes probably. So technology, this might be a wake-up call. I hope it is another wake-up call for people with the ownership of data to understand the difference between what is a risk and what is an opportunity of providing care at a higher level. People just to download their app right now and fill it out. Just like, just tell me how you're doing. If you could provide me your information, it'll be anonymous. I just need data. Mm-hmm. And because that data I need to fill up to populate my machine learning algorithms to figure out when should I say, oh, wait a minute. It sounds like you might actually be suffering from some initial symptoms that may lead to a bigger issue. So there are people that are completely willing to provide their health data. They just don't know how to. And I think what it is it's not an individual solution. It's a framework. It's an approach. Mm-hmm. So the way that HL7 has done it and with FHIR standards, that's a framework and an approach to put things in place to share data. Mobile's the same. Mobile's just riding that wave. And the ability for the data sets to talk to each other and the ability for me to give that data set the permission to share my information anonymized or not anonymized, that's not there. Mm-hmm. Those are the different pieces that in smaller countries, they do have those. Some countries do have those abilities. I'm excited, as well as I'm frustrated, I'm excited. I don't see myself and the industry solving this problem soon. There's a lot of great challenges, which is exciting because as a scientist, I'm always wanting to learn new stuff. We're always going to be learning stuff. So mobile is the next evolution with 5G, getting that data. We're going to have so much data and there's going to be more people screaming, we have all this data. Why aren't we using it? Right. So that's just going to add to it.
Right. And seemingly what you're also talking about is how, you know, industry still needs to march towards interoperability too, because it's still not there. And you don't expect necessarily even the pandemic we're talking about to impact that or change it directly.
Yeah, that's right. There's a keynote a few years ago where CMS was saying it's kind of silly in the country that we have where the government is dictating interoperability when really private sector should be doing that. Mm-hmm. And so once healthcare is saying the healthcare is at a place where the government is saying, I can't keep up with how they're expecting us to use this information, I'll feel a lot better about where we're at in this country for healthcare. I'm hoping mobile is going to force that, especially with where we are today.
Right.
Tom, can I tag onto that as well, Tom?
Absolutely.
So Greg raises an interesting point around data, and you tagged it quite appropriately as the whole issue of interoperability. But I would add that, to Greg's point, it's not as if CMS has not been collecting data. It's not as if the insurance companies have not been collecting data. I would almost argue that the data collection that is being done and the data insights that are being put forward have always been really wrapped around cost mitigation and cost management first, and I think healthcare improvement later. And I think this gets back to the idea of creating an increasing number of self-reliant consumers out there around their own healthcare. Mm-hmm. Because we're going to look back, you know, the unfortunate thing about a pandemic, beyond the loss of life and the cost and the resources needed to fight a pandemic, is that all the data you collect is backward looking if not used appropriately, right? So we're going to learn a lot about this pandemic and its impact on our cities and rural areas in the United States.
Right.
I'll give you a good example. You know, look at what's happened in Albany, Georgia. I mean, one of our clients is a Phoebe Putney Hospital system, which is located in Albany, Georgia, which over the last 7 days has made national news twice on CNN and MSNBC, because in that 70,000 member community, they've had the highest growth rate of infection and death per capita, I think next to New Orleans, perhaps, in New York City. So who would have expected that, going into this, right? So if data was used appropriately, as Greg suggests, and as they are probably using it in other countries across the globe, you would be able to identify your hotspots. You'd be able to look at a place like Phoebe or a place like Albany, Georgia, and go, okay, the attributes of this community from a healthcare perspective, charted over the last 5 years or 15 years or 10 year period, makes them ripe for this type of infection. It's a respiratory infection. It has a high death rate among with folks that have several comorbidities. We should have known that they would be a hotspot, right? And then we could have applied resources carefully. I mean, you look at big cities in California, you know, obviously New York City, in New York State, and you go, okay, they're going to be hotspots because of a lot of different issues, mainly volume, right, is their issue. Mm-hmm. But nobody really looked carefully at some of our more rural areas and said, okay, based upon this, the composite health that we have in that area, we need to be very careful here because this is going to have a big impact on these smaller communities. We'll know that moving forward now. But as Greg suggests, you know, in an environment where there is nationalized data sharing and probability, we probably could have caught some of those things earlier.
Wow. Great point.
To piggyback on Bruce's point here, you know, I read an article just this morning, actually, about a little community in South Carolina, rural South Carolina, called Camden. Camden has the highest per capita, actually, now, higher than New York. And what they've done is they've taken a look at why that is. And it's amazing that a lot of the reason is non-health related. It's more behavioral related and demographic related. So that, to me, is testimony to the fact that individuals need to get involved in mobile technology would help them, because that data would not have been even available in our current healthcare systems to determine what the impact of this virus could have been in the community of this type based on its behavior, its population, its demographic. So I think that's one key aspect. The second is, to me, to Greg's point, is interoperability and sharing of data is absolutely key, and it is not done today. And it hasn't been done, I think Greg said, for, you know, 2-3 years, he's been dealing with the same problem, when I've been dealing with it for 40 years. And the issue really, you know, if you get down to an individual's level, I don't have access to all of my health data. It's not available to me, regardless of what, you know, EMR system is being used or what providers I've been to over the last, you know, 40, 50, 60 years. I'm sure you don't either. And that's my information. And by the way, if I had access to it all and I was able to take a look at it, I could probably provide, through a use of good technology, updates to it, more accurate information, changes based on situations and so on, that would be all more valuable in just the provision of any care down the road, outside of a pandemic situation. And those are the kinds of things that I think that we're on the cusp of figuring out how to deal with. It's going to be a long journey, but it's not one that we can't survive and succeed.
You're listening to Healthcare Aptitude on Healthcare Now Radio, and I'm Tom Testa. I've been talking with Jerry Lepore, Greg Jones, and Bruce Kennedy of MobileSmith Health, and we're addressing the COVID-19 health crisis. Now let's turn our attention back to some of the mobile advances that can help in this fight. In early April, Deaconess Health System, a 7-hospital system located in southern Indiana, was the first provider to launch the COVID response staff app from MobileSmith Health. Joining us now is Bill Donnelly, Digital Marketing Coordinator at Deaconess Health System. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Great. Thanks for joining us. So, Bill, tell us a little bit about your role at Deaconess.
Well, I manage all of our digital assets from web and digital marketing, mobile apps. We have roughly about 13 websites, including our intranet and other digital media presence throughout our community.
Okay, great. Regarding the app, can you tell us a bit about the launch of the COVID response app for staff and why Deaconess decided to implement it?
Well, we came across the challenge to communicate to all of our 7,300 employees, as well as all of our affiliate hospitals, to a much larger degree. We have an intranet that we call D-Web, which many organizations have an intranet of some sort, which is a great internal communication device. Mm-hmm. But you have to be on the internal network on a PC to access that information. So the challenge was, how do we get this COVID response information and daily, if not hourly, communication in the hands of all of our employees. So we've had a long-term relationship with Mobilesmith. I've built a previous app, a maternity app, a couple of years back, and reached out to the team to basically ask what our options were and what kind of timeline we could work together in launching we call it the Deaconess Employee app, to get all of our COVID-19 information to all of our employees.
So, Bill, you mentioned, you know, regarding those employees, obviously a large number of them, you said that 7,300 total number of employees, large number of them are made up of nurses and other clinicians, of course. And those folks aren't always easy to get this information in front of when even using your intranet, correct?
Correct. As a clinical employee, they are not like us on the business side, where they're in front of a PC or close to a PC at all many hours during the workday. They are hands-on with patients, obviously. So we have a tough time just getting information to them in a general aspect outside of the COVID-19 epidemic. But
right.
With them being on the floor and having a mobile device, and 9 times out of 10, we'll say, mm-hmm. At least close by, then having a mobile app was a much better solution to get all the communication to them.
And what kinds of communication are they accessing via the app?
Well, we do a couple different things. We have a daily communication update that kind of just is a recap of everything that we are communicating to all employees. Mm-hmm. But we have a specific nurse section that just focus on nursing for a moment, for like testing criteria and information. PPE obviously is a big focus for all the COVID-19 aspects.
Right.
And then an education area, as well as videos. So, you know, just going through educational videos for PPE and other items related to nursing. But we also have a provider or doctor, NP, PA section that is a little bit more robust, includes telehealth information, has links up to the CDC and process and protocols, et cetera.
Great, yeah, and that's ultimately so important as, you know, CDC continues to offer guidance almost, it seems, daily, let alone weekly. So having the access to that all in one place for your entire clinical staff and the hospital staffs in general, it sounds like a great resource.
Absolutely.
So regarding the implementation of the app, how was the process?
Well, it was fast and furious to begin with. It mm-hmm. was, I believe, on a Thursday or a Friday while we were still in the office, not working remotely at the time. And it was brought to us to say, how can we do this? Is this possible? And we gathered as a web team internally. We have 6 individuals that work on just web and digital in general that I manage. And we sat down, brainstormed, reached out to the Mobilesmith team, and they were up to the challenge as well. And from there, we got a design concept, turned around in maybe 24, 48 hours. And then it came down to content. How do we mm-hmm. gather all the content? Since the communication and content is key, we were already building out content to a certain degree on our intranet, and a little bit on our deaconess.com main website. But, you know, what's going to be the breadth and depth of this content? Because it is expanding very quickly and very broadly throughout this last month and a half. But once we gather that information, at least on the onset, we were able to build the app both internally as well as externally with the Mobilesmith team mm-hmm. in about 7 business days, I think we had it turned around. And that process went very quickly. It was kind of all hands on deck. Many other projects took a back seat. And I think a total time period, we were 2.5 weeks roughly by the time we were live in the app stores for Google Play and Apple.
Right. That's fantastic. And how about the reaction of the staff to date?
They were very excited with it, especially on the clinical side, as well as right. leadership. That's something that the leadership team in the C-suite was very ecstatic about and are promoting on daily calls. They're in our incident command communications that we're doing conference calls with, and making sure people are getting the information. We can continue to refine and adapt to the feedback that we get, but it was great. I mean, we received a very good positive feedback right out of the gate, and to this point in time, we've had about 3,500 users out of the 7,300 employees that are actively using the app currently.
Great. Great. And that's just what, just over or just about 2 weeks?
Just about 2 weeks. Yes.
Yeah, that's fantastic. What about anything else you can tell us about the usage right now, or the number of sessions, how long people are actually sticking on to the app and working with it?
Well, initially we had a very large spike when we launched the app. We pushed it out, communicated everything. So, it was great right out of the gate. Total sessions so far, we're over 23,000 sessions is what we're looking at this point.
Wow.
As well as each person spending about 2 minutes per session on the app. So that's I feel like a fairly good sticky site. We've had some additional requests to come in for some other functionality, but we're kind of sticking to what we have right now and evaluating, and we'll make some adjustments down the road.
Certainly. Yeah, no, absolutely. Especially given what a lot of the staff and you know, especially the clinicians are facing right now. Certainly that time is probably getting onto the app what they need, and then they're ready to get back to work. So now you talked about, you know, it's received great reviews. So is there any plans for future use of the app beyond COVID-19?
Yes, we actually had the thought and the initiative in 2021 to build an employee app overall, just as a general communication piece to just our arsenal of information. So our long-term plan is once we grow out of COVID-19 as a focus, I'm sure it will still be a piece of the app somehow, some way, but we will eventually rebuild the app to a certain degree and include other communication information in there. Just for example, the cafeteria or the cafe is one of the biggest number one things that everybody worries about in the hospitals, what's being served for lunch and dinner and breakfast and everything. So, you know, we don't have that information on there yet, but eventually we will. And, you know, have it that more of a daily communication device for that is not 100% clinically focused like it currently is.
Well, Bill, these certainly are turbulent times for many working in our nation's hospitals and health systems. So we really, really do appreciate you taking the time to join us today.
Absolutely. I appreciate the time and enjoyed helping out, and really want to thank MobileSmith and the team over there for helping us make this happen.
Excellent. Well, that's a wrap for this month's episode of Healthcare Aptitude. Be sure to join us next month as we talk to Rod Cruz of AT&T and learn more about how MobileSmith and AT&T have partnered together to reshape the way our nation's healthcare is delivered. Remember to catch the show on Healthcare Now Radio every weekday at 7 a.m., 3 p.m., and 11 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit mobilesmith.com or send your questions to sales@mobilesmith.com. Thank you for listening, and be safe out there.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Healthcare Aptitude, sponsored by MobileSmith Health. Be sure to tune in weekdays at 7 a.m., 3 p.m., and 11 p.m. Eastern Time on Healthcare Now Radio.